From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. As we bring the year to a close, we thought it would be good to listen to the top five programs of the past year. Now, I have to admit, I have no clue what they are, but I know they're going to be great. So here's the number four program for 2015. And to help you be more intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And we're having fun this week as we're counting down. Now that Christmas is behind us, we're counting down not only to the year end, which, by the way, is almost upon us. And God bless you. Just want to say it again. Thank you for your prayers. And you guys have been responding to the financial need we've mentioned. Thank you for the matching gift. I'll talk more about that later on. But today, we're reaching back in the archives, and I'm pulling a program, number four program, from last winter, and it was on the topic of the power of words, which I thought was interesting. The power of words, how words can either bring you up or tear you down, lift you up or destroy you. And, you know, we determined these top five programs by your caller interaction, by the number of comment line response and so on, just looking numerically at the response. And clearly this was number four, focusing on the power of words. So if you're ready, let's go back a few months and listen to the topic, the power of words. Welcome to the doorstep of Intentional Living Center, and we open the doors and come on in. If it's a warm day, cold day, snowy day, sunny day, whatever it is, come on in. This is a great place to be because it's always sunny and warm here at our Intentional Living Center. Here's the question. Think for a moment about a simple word or phrase or someone who has said something to you that encouraged you, that lifted you in your spirit. We're going to talk about the power of words today from Intentional Living. Come on in. We're going to get intentional. I'm going to ask you to think about four questions you better ask yourself before you speak another word, okay?
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Hey, we just opened up our phone, so call now 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional with your words, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. And that's exactly what we want to do in these 30 minutes. And so the lines are open. Call quickly. And I just like to know, you tell me someone and the words that they spoke that just have lifted you over the years. Maybe it was a father or grandfather or mom, or maybe a neighbor or pastor, someone who said, what, that you can do it, or I'm praying for you, or don't give up. I don't know. What were the words that they spoke, and what difference did they make in your life? We got four questions that you need to ask yourself before you speak. I think four questions you need to ask yourself before you say something that really is going to matter in someone's life. I'll tell you what those questions are in a moment. Words matter. I think many of us approach our speaking as opposed to, you know, ready, aim, fire, you know, like we should, getting ready, making right aim of the words we want to use, or as the Bible says, using a word aptly spoken. Many of us, we get ready, fire, and then aim. You know, we just shoot out words, and we just say words. We don't understand the power of words. Even the Bible says in John 1:1 that in the beginning was the Word. And when we think of words, create pictures and images in our mind. If I say banana, you have a picture, don't you? You're thinking it, right? I mean, you're not hearing just the letters of the word banana. You're picturing a banana. Or if I say apple, or I say snowstorm, those of you in the midst of it, you can look out the window. Those in sunnier places in the country, you can picture it in your mind. So when we think of words, words can either help us, they can hurt, they can comfort, they can heal, words can destroy, they can confuse, they can frustrate. And the Bible says that a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver, a beautiful picture. And there are four questions that we need to ask before we speak, words that matter. If you're in a meeting, let's say you're on a church board or you're in a relationship and you need to speak with someone or you need to confront an issue, or someone is hurting and you don't know what words to speak or any words at all. So I want to help you today by challenging you to think about four intentional questions to ask yourself before you speak. All right? But as we go through this half hour, I'd love to hear from you, someone who has said something in your life that has just encouraged you and built you up. Maybe they're gone. Maybe they're not even in your life any longer, but you can remember it. Even as I speak, you can remember it. 888-888-1717.
One of the things I decided to be intentional about is, you know, the little white lies people tell? I don't want to tell anymore.
My problem has been talking too much, and so I'm asking the Lord to help me with my words. And I thought, well, if he can shut the mouth of the lions, and like he did in the lion's den, he can certainly shut my mouth.
So. My wife stopped telling me how bad things were, and it was my fault. And after we merged with God's mercy, she demonstrated the fact that God had worked in her life and in telling me that now she loved me and depended on me.
Yeah, it's actually in the book of Proverbs as well, that even a fool seems wise when he keeps his mouth shut, so sometimes it's better not to say anything at all and just let the situation unfold.
You ever said anything dumb and wish you could draw it back after you've said it? Maybe in, to your spouse, you know, you've said, I tell the story in my conferences about coming home one day, and Donna had a little, she had a little car she drove, and there was a scratch all the way down the side of the car from the front to the back of the car that wasn't there when I'd left earlier. And, well, you know, it wasn't bad. It was just a scratch all the way down the side. It's going to need some repair, and there was some damage to the car. But when I walked in, instead of comforting her and asking her, was she okay, I could see there was no blood, no broken bones. And instead of being smart and caring and, you know, I use my logical mind here and figure out everything's okay but the car. So my words were, how'd you do that? You hear the silence? And she said, I'm fine, thank you. Ouch. I deserve that, by the way. You know, there was no intention to be insensitive. And I think many times we speak words, we don't have an intention that's, you know, ill-advised or ill-intended. But as we say, we judge ourselves by our intentions, even with our words. We judge ourselves by my intention when I say something. I'm trying to correct, or I'm trying to be helpful, or I just want to be a good friend. So we judge ourselves by our intentions. Others judge us by our words. They judge us by our actions. They judge us by the way they perceive what we say. And sometimes that can be devastating. And so I do have four questions I would encourage you to ask before you speak. And I guess I would ask you, who's spoken into your life at some point that has made a positive difference? Someone who's spoken to your life, some words, maybe a phrase, a statement, a letter, something that really made a difference. Give us a call. I'd love to hear it. 888-888-1717 is the number. I'll come back and I'll share those four questions with you here in just a minute.
I listen to Family Life Radio every day. And my stepmother just died, and I have regrets because we had gotten into an argument, and I told her that she was not my mother, and I never had a chance to make amends to her. And she died last night at 9:40. So what I have done is called hospice, and I've written a letter to her. She brought my father to Christianity, and my father has been baptized. And my father and I used to fight all the time. And now, because of God, through Jan, my stepmother, my father and I have a good relationship. We talk about the Bible and Jesus Christ all the time. And I wrote the letter to let her know that and to apologize to her, make amends to her for yelling at her like that because it was wrong. We're going to read the letter and let it go. And I know that she's in Jesus' sweet arms today. And I love her very, very much. Thank you.
You know, you think of first words and last words. We spend a lot of time around words, don't we? We got a couple little grandchildren now that are our little Eli's just starting to talk. And then little Aya, our newest little grandbaby, is not quite there. She's only a couple months old. But, you know, now it's the first smile and the first coo and but don't we spend a lot of time, we're concerned about the first words that our children and grandchildren speak. We go, oh, what are they going to speak? What's the first words? But there's also the last words. What does a person say? Their last words. Words matter, and I think sometimes we don't stop to think about it. And so let me share with you four questions I would encourage you to ask before you speak. I mean, before you say something that's, you know, can have an impact on someone's life. First of all, what is it that needs to be said? Maybe you have a problem in your marriage and something needs to be said. Maybe you're having a problem with your finances and you got to deal with it. Something's got to be said. Maybe you're having a challenge with your teenager and something's got to be said. You can't just ignore it. In fact, I think sometimes lack of words or proper words can be just as destructive as not crafting some words you need to speak. Silence may be golden, but not when you have to confront an issue. And so what needs to be said? See, when you're ready to speak to a person, the question is, what do you need to communicate? If in the terms of your marriage, if there's a problem and you need to speak something, you need to sit down and craft, what are the words that need to be said? What is it that needs to be communicated? A teenager that's being rebellious and disrespectful, you need to challenge those issues. Now, it's what words you use that matter. That's what we're saying. We're not saying we don't speak. We're just saying that a word aptly spoken makes a difference. And I tell you what, you know this and I know this. There have been people who have come to you and to me who have said some dumb things they didn't intend to say, but it hurt and it confused and it makes you angry when someone says you this or you that, and immediately the defenses go up. So what is it needs to be said? Let me give an example. You know, maybe you're married and there's a problem with finances in your marriage and you're not on the same page. And as a result, you don't know where your money is going. Bills are falling behind. You're not where you want to be. You're not knowing where you're going to be when you get to retirement years. Something needs to be said. And so coming to a conclusion of what needs to be said, which in that case might be we've got some issues. We've got some issues we need to settle on. The second question is, how should I say it? With this question, we need to be very intentional and focused on how to say it. If the money's the issue in the marriage, I'm not going to blame. You know, I'm going to say something along the line of, you know, I think we would agree we're not where we want to be, or where did we intend to be with money at this point? And I think it's pretty clear that we're not on the same page. It's not that you're right and I'm wrong, but because we're not on the same page, there's confusion as a result of that. We end up overspending or we don't use good judgment and so on. So what needs to be said and how should you say it? There's two more questions, and we'll get to those here in just a couple minutes. Let me take a caller, though. Dee Dee's on the line in Arizona. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi.
Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
How do you relate to this words? Who's spoken a word made a difference in your life?
Well, myself. Actually, I've spoken from a young child, and I passed it on to children who lived around me, and I've been in Arizona all my life, 48 years old. And my son now has a family, and I'm learning to communicate now. I'm having a little trouble there, but I'm coming up with some good words and in memory of, you know, just spending some time alone and knowing that the good Lord's out there with everybody at all times. And he always comes back to me. And my daughter was questioning me when she was going for communion. I forget what it's called, in the church. Pastor Dennis ran it in North Phoenix, and she graduated from there. And she asked me questions to go to for her homework. And the main thing was, I told her, was to be a friend. You have to, to have a friend, you have to be a friend.
I think sometimes we look at words, Dee Dee. There's instructive words, there's comforting words, encouraging words. And sometimes all our children need is just that confirmation. And sometimes just a little instruction. Here's what I tell people, though, in especially with adult children, if you have something you want to share, the best thing to do is ask for permission. Is it okay? Can I share something with you? And as they give you permission, they stay in charge of what they want from you. And if they say no, then you back off. But that can be a very encouraging thing to do. Appreciate it. Thank you, Dee Dee. Let me go to Michelle. What encouraging word have you heard, Michelle? What's made a difference in your life?
My pastor had something to say to me. He said, Michelle, you need to let go. Whatever you think people have said to you or what they have done to you in the past, just let go. And that's been a wonderful relief for me. It's wonderful words. Permission to let go.
Yeah, because... Well, that's right. You said you get permission to let go because it's easy to hang on to things, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So that made a difference in your life.
It made a big difference.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
I'm a much happier person since I heard those words.
Isn't that interesting? Just a sentence. Hey, Michelle, let it go. Let it go. Some things you can control, some things you can't. The words we speak matter. Thank you. Appreciate your calls. Two more questions I'm going to encourage you to ask before you speak in just a minute.
Yes, this is a comment that I have on words, and I was just listening to your station. This is the second time I've listened, and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm calling from Overland Park, Kansas. And I just remember my mother used to tell me, you know, she heard me talking to my kids in a way she didn't like. She would say, Deb, weigh your words carefully. They're heavier than you think. And at the time, I don't think I realized, but now I know what she meant. I mean, it could affect them for a long, long time. And I know they do. They did with me. So God bless you. Hope this helps anyone out there listening.
Well, someone, I'm sure. Thank you for sharing your stories, by the way, on our comment line, story line, at 888-888-1717. On Facebook, Jeannie's weighed in. She said on this question of when has a simple word from someone really encouraged you, and the word was, be still, my daughter. Be still, my daughter. Now, mom could say that, but you know, you could also hear the Holy Spirit speaking in your spirit to say, hey, just be still. When you think of the Word of God, that can speak to you as well, can it? You think about the encouragement of a scripture verse or a passage or a story that's made a difference in your life. So questions, four questions to ask before you speak. Number three is, when should you say it? I think timing is one of those critical things in talking to another person that we don't take into consideration. Typically, in the heat of battle is not the right time to speak. It's time to shut up and listen, back off. Question with open-ended questions that you can absorb and not try to attack or defend. That's not the moment. I know it's the reaction, and I know that we all are guilty of it at sometimes, but mature people, as we grow in our intentional living in Christ, we learn that sometimes it needs to be silence, with the timing being at another time. Maybe when you're confronting an issue that needs to be discussed, it's done at a time separate from the heated moment when things can get so overheated. And I know, I do that. You know, you're emotionally engaged, you're passionate about whatever the topic is, you have something to say, and you say it. That's why the scripture, when it says a word aptly spoken, by the word aptly means not only the right word, but at the right time. See, a word aptly spoken, right word, right time, right season, right way. And then there's this word picture. It's like a setting of apples of gold in this beautiful silver bowl. That's a beautiful picture. I use it in my conferences as a reminder of the power of words. In fact, hundreds of people have written on golden apples that I spray painted with gold paint around my conferences. They've written words that have made a difference in their lives, or words that their spouse have spoken to them that have made a difference. And timing is so critical. When to say what needs to be said. More on the questions to ask yourself in a moment, and you're welcome to join us at 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome back to Intentional Living today. I hope you're enjoying program number four, the top five programs of the year. This is number four, and it's the power of words. Boy, if we're intentional with our words, it can make a huge difference in our life, in our marriage, in our family, in our business, in our interactions, in everything that we do. So if you're ready, we're going to get back to the program. And then I come back in a few minutes. I have something very exciting to remind you about, so I hope you'll stay tuned. You know, we're talking about the power of words today. It's interesting. There's a picture in the book of James chapter 3 that talks about words. Here's what it says, James 3, 5, and 6. A tiny spark can set a great forest afire. You know, where we live, we live in the mountain areas of southern Arizona, and we have the mountains around us and up into the Mogollon Rim and other places where there's beautiful pine trees. And every summer when things get really dry in the desert, even a tiny spark, you know, someone leaves a campfire burning or a cigarette thrown out the window, even a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And we've seen every year, not only here in our home state, but all over the West in particular, where one spark can set thousands of acres on fire. And then James takes that picture that's so clear, we've seen it on the news, and says, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. Some of you have been burned by your words. And that's why we caution, you know, what we say, how we say it, making sure the intentions are clearly motivated and pure and that we articulate it in a way that doesn't set a fire ablaze, but we do it with great passion and at the same time with clarity. And that's being intentional. Okay, let me go to the calls here. We got Rochelle in New Mexico. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Fantastic. What's your comment on the power of words?
I will just say that words have, you know, it's very powerful. When we speak and yell at the kids or to anyone, it's powerful and it hurts badly. Mm. I myself was born with 15 siblings, and wow. Most of the time my sibling will just get into me whenever something wrong happened or something just I didn't do. They don't trust you. They're just going to get into you that you're going to feel down and low self-esteem. I have been feeling myself low self-esteem and worthless since I was about 6 years old. And I went through that for so long that I started believing that I'm worthless, that I'm just a stupid girl like they call, and all kind of bad names that will come out to them. So I let that get into me since I was 6 years old until now that I'm 25. Mm. I'm starting to realize that, no, those words can never let me down. I'm not that person.
You're not.
I'm not that kind of person. And God sent me in this war. He knows why. It's not because of my family. It's because God wanted me to be here. Mm. And my father, before he died, he always used to tell me that I'm a very smart woman, that I shouldn't let this world bother me as much. I can make my life better as I want. I can make things better, and I shouldn't worry about that. Now that I start thinking what my dad told me, so I'm starting to believe in myself, and I'm seeing that things are going good than the way I used to think before.
Good for you. Listen, Rochelle, your dad's right. Your dad is absolutely right. You know, we can absorb words and they hurt. Here's what I've experienced working with people over the years. Some of the smartest people, I mean just intelligent people, are sometimes the ones most damaged by words because being sometimes so intelligent, we're also aware. And being aware, we kind of absorb it like a sponge. And we start to believe what people say about us. But because you're a smart young woman, you recognize that these words are not reality. Not every word spoken is reality. You look at how people in our culture are getting confused when they're getting messages online and what have you, and they're running off after things that are not truth. And we keep coming back to truth, Rochelle, and I would challenge you to focus on the truth that is very clear that God has made each of us with a very special talent and a gift. He's made us as unique individuals with our own fingerprint and DNA, that he has a plan and a purpose for every person on this planet. And one of the passions of our life and our ministry here is to help people find what that purpose is for their life and live it to the fullest, whatever that may be. And so my encouragement is for you to believe what your dad said. You're a very special young woman that God created with a purpose, and that's why you're here, and that you'd be intentional in finding it and living it every day intentionally for him. They called us on May 1st, 16 years ago today. It was a Sunday. And they said, you need to come now. He's going to be gone within an hour. We went to the hospital, Don and I and my mother. And I said, it's okay, Dad, you can go. And the line went straight. And he was gone. And we took that body back to Muskegon, as I mentioned, and now we're standing next to that gravesite. I'm wondering, we didn't get a chance to hear a final word from my dad. What would he have said to us? It makes me think we got to say it while we can. I think he would have sat up and said, Randy and Warren and Larry, whatever you do, make your life count. Probably a big part of why I do what I do in service is a result of that testimony of my dad. Boy, that brings back memories. That's a clip from one of my teachings at a conference. And to remember those words of my dad and the power of words, the power of words. I hope we've reminded you to not only speak words of comfort, but also absorb those that speak truth into your life. And that certainly is the message today. Well, we're live again back here in the Intentional Living studio. That was a program that aired many months ago, one of the top five programs of the year. And as I was listening to it again and reflecting on the memories that go back many years of my dad, and what's interesting is this week we would have been celebrating his birthday. But those memories are rich. And it's a reminder to me, again, that life is so short. And so let me just use my words for a moment to first of all say to you, we love you guys. We appreciate you. And as I get a chance to travel, I just want to say thank you for all the kind words you share back and the things that you share that are encouraging, allowing us to speak into your life. We're such imperfect people. And I want to say a special thanks to those of you that have been helping us this year to close out this year strong. You know, the finances run the engine to keep us going. And I want to thank those of you every month who are members, standing with us. God bless you. Those of you here at the year end that have been responding to this very special match gift from several friends together, pooling up to $150,000 being matched. They're going right into the overall ministry. Yours going to keep Intentional Living on the air. And I just want to say thank you. I don't know what more to say other than thank you for doing it. And if you're able to do that now and you haven't shared a gift, can I encourage you? Can I ask you to do it now? We really need your help in these last 2 days, literally as we go in these last 2 days of the year to close out strong. Simple. Just go online to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on the donate button. You can share a year-end gift there. Or you can call during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And I want to say thank you for your support. Come join us as we continue our countdown tomorrow with program number 3 for the year.